Well, good morning, Knights, Dames, and Auxiliary, to this monthly spiritual outreach call. My name is Chris Rutkowski from the Board of Counselors. I have the great honor of being your host for these calls, and one other role I have is to introduce our speaker. Our speaker this morning is Father David Scoblo. Father David has been a member of the Order for about 20 years. He entered the priesthood as a second vocation, having previously served as a corporate lawyer on Wall Street. Must have been quite a transition there. He has been a member of the choir at St. Patrick's Cathedral for 31 years, so he considers that his true home parish. He also served Mass at St. Vincent's Ferrer Church. He was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Metuchen, New Jersey, in 2015. He is currently the administrator of Our Lady of Mount Virgin in Middlesex, New Jersey, and his status in the order was changed from that of knight to chaplain last year. Father David will be speaking to us this morning about the Annunciation, our model for saying yes to God. And like all of us on the call, I'm very much looking forward to what Father David has to say. Take it away, Father David.
Thank you very, very much, Chris, and welcome, everybody. I hope you're all safely indoors somewhere and don't have to travel much today. Okay, I thought we'd start with a prayer, so let us pray. Holy Spirit, you spoke to Mary through an angel to invite her to participate in your plan of salvation. Though she questioned how it was possible for her to become the mother of the Messiah, she never questioned that it was possible. Though she risked rejection from Joseph and from others, yet she gave you her yes, her great fiat. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. With the help of Mary's prayers, may we become fully willing to say yes to our part in giving Christ to the world. Encourage us when we don't understand what you are asking of us. Bless us with the grace of hearing your call and the courage to trust in your plan. Let it be done unto us according to your will. Ever blessed Virgin, Queen of the Universe, Mother of Mercy, Mother of the Church, and Refuge of Sinners, Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord celebrates three things. First, the angel Gabriel's appearance to the Virgin Mary, as reported in the first chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. Second, his announcement that the Blessed Virgin had been chosen to be the mother of our Lord. And third, Mary's great yes, in Latin, her fiat, let it be done. Her willing acceptance of God's holy plan and her participation in it. Originally a feast of our Lord, celebrating the true day of his incarnation, the Annunciation is now celebrated primarily as a Marian feast. The feast of the Annunciation dates back to at least the 5th century, and by the 7th century, the date of the feast, which is determined by the date of Christmas, was set at March 25th, exactly 9 months before the Nativity of our Lord. When, as this year, the solemnity falls during Holy Week, it is celebrated the Monday after the octave of Easter. In her great declaration of yes, Mary signaled her cooperation in God's plan of salvation. Mary's journey would be the same as that of her son, for Jesus lived his life on earth constantly and consistently doing the will of the Father. This is demonstrated most dramatically during Jesus' agony in the garden when he prays, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, but yours be done. And this is what Jesus teaches us that we too are to do. Live our lives seeking out and then doing the will of God. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he includes the petition, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are invited by Jesus to do the will of his Father, just as Mary was. And we, like Mary, are invited to respond to his invitation by saying yes. Yes to a relationship which is more powerful than any other relationship in our lives. But it is an offer, an invitation, which must be freely accepted. Freely accepted, just as Mary did. Accepted with love and by placing all of our trust in the submission of our wills to the will of the Father. Through the angel's message, God seeks just such an acceptance from all of humanity. And it all starts with Mary's saying yes. A new creation, a new beginning, in which we are all invited to participate by saying yes. Yes in belief, and yes in following. Jesus calls us to believe and to follow, freely surrendering our wills to that of the Father, just as he did, and just as Mary did. As one Dominican theologian, Father John Walsh, put it, it was not a matter of Mary's will doing the will of her son, so much as Mary's will being lost in that of her son. That is how we know that we are truly following in his footsteps. It comes about with a complete conversion and a willingness to live a lifestyle that reflects his love. In saying yes, we make our own an embrace of Jesus' salvific mission, the salvation of souls. First our own, and then as many souls as we can bring along with us. Jesus selected from among his disciples those who would be his closest friends, his apostles, and he bade them to follow him, but they did so in an imperfect way, often confused and often fearful. Only Mary could see the will of the Father and live a life of perfect discipleship, and in doing so, Mary would see realized in her life the prophecy of Simeon, that a sword would pierce her heart. In this sense, it would not be inappropriate to see Mary as a martyr, as one who witnesses to their faith in Jesus as the Christ by their very lives. Doing the will of God would characterize Mary's entire life. Her final words recorded in Scripture are the words spoken by her to the servants at the marriage at Cana, "Do whatever he tells you." These words are meant not only for the servants, they are addressed to us as well. Do whatever he tells you. Do the will of Jesus, which is the will of the Father. Say yes. This is the surest and safest and, indeed, the only road to heaven. And, if I might digress for a moment, it is not only in Mary's yes that we have a model. We also have Joseph as a model, for the angel also appears to Joseph. Joseph is disturbed because the woman to whom he has been betrothed is found to be with child before they are legally wed. For all intents and purposes, this looked like adultery. And being a righteous man, Joseph intends to legally end his betrothal to Mary quietly. But an angel comes to Joseph in a dream. The angel tells Joseph not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, for the child that she has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. The angel instructs Joseph to name the child Yahushua, a name meaning God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. There is not one recorded word of Joseph in the Bible, but where Mary accepts the angel's invitation to become the mother of Jesus by her words, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word," Joseph silently accepts the angel's invitation to become the legal father of Jesus by taking Mary into his home as his wife. He obeys the angel's command to call the baby Jesus. Joseph expresses his great fiat, his yes, by his actions rather than by his words. And so Mary and Joseph, without regard to the great risk each of them runs by accepting this child from God in so unconventional and indeed unprecedented manner, by following the will of God, by saying yes, become the parents of Jesus and, in a very real sense, the first two disciples. On March 3rd of this year, Pope Francis announced that a new celebration be added to the calendar of the Universal Church, a commemoration of Mary under the title Mother of the Church. It is to be celebrated each year on the Monday after Pentecost. The title Mother of the Church was first given to the Blessed Virgin Mary by Blessed Pope Paul VI at the Second Vatican Council. In his letter of decree, Cardinal Seurat, prefect of the Congregation for Divine Worship, wrote, "Mary is the mother of the members of Christ, because with charity she cooperated in the rebirth of the faithful into the Church. Mary is at once mother of Christ, the Son of God, and mother of the members of his mystical body, which is the Church." Coming on the day after Pentecost, the day traditionally recognized as the day on which the Church was born, One cannot avoid the association of Mary with the Pentecost experience of the apostles. Cardinal Seurat pointed out that Mary, too, had a mission, which began in the upper room as she prayed with the apostles in anticipating the coming of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus, her son, had promised. Pentecost was the birth of the church, the mystical body of Christ. As Mother of Christ, the head of the church, it naturally follows that Mary is also the mother of the church. How different the Pentecost experience must have been for Mary. James and John had sought places of honor in the kingdom, and Peter had denied Christ three times. Thomas doubted his resurrection. In contrast, Mary stood at the foot of the cross when all of the apostles, except John, fled in fear. The apostles, her son's friends, were fearful. Finally, with the onrushing of the grace of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were now emboldened, cowards no longer. Now they came to be where Mary always was, not only doing, but living the will of the Father. Indeed, lost in the will of the Father. As the angel announced to her, Mary was kakaritomene, full of grace. Kakaritomene, a word used only this once in all of Scripture. Kakaritomene, a unique word for a unique lady. For by virtue of the saving power of God, Mary was full of grace from the moment of her immaculate conception. But more than that, according to Greek grammar, the word implies Mary to have been, to be, and to always continue to be, filled with the absolute fullness of God's grace. Mary lived a life of sinlessness by virtue of her cooperation with God's grace. Her cooperation first and most importantly manifested in her great fiat, her yes, her willingness to live from that moment on a life of perfect conformity to the will of God. Hence the Church's firmly held belief that Mary was not only sinless from the moment of her conception, but remained sinless her entire life. For the very definition of sin is doing something against God's will. But Mary, endowed with the same free will that God gives to each of us, voluntarily lived a life that was always in conformity with the will of God, always saying yes. And in doing so, Mary provides the perfect model for us to always strive to live in conformity with the will of God by emulating her willingness to always and everywhere say yes to God. When Pope Benedict visited the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth, he offered this prayer. Mary, Mother of the Yes, you listen to Jesus and know the tone of his voice and the beating of his heart. Morning Star, speak to us of him and tell us about your journey of following him on the path of faith. As the Episcopal priest, Father Mike Marsh, has observed, between Mary's How Can This Be? And her Let It Be, the impossible becomes a reality. The never before heard of will forever be spoken of, and the veil between divinity and humanity will fall. As Pope Benedict observed, the only way God can redeem man, who was created with free will, is by means of a free yes to his will. For in creating freedom, God made himself, in a certain sense, dependent upon man. God's power is tied to the freely spoken yes of a human being. Mary said yes. The question that we, as professed Christians and followers of Christ, is whether we too will follow Mary's example and say yes. It is a question that we must ask ourselves each and every day. And we say yes by obeying the commandments and by living the Beatitudes. In his incarnation, God chooses to dwell among men in a new way. And Mary's yes and our yes are what it takes to bring this about. Amid the cacophony of everyday life, may we listen for and embrace the symphonic call of her Son. May we respond with the same faith, trust, and love as Mary by saying yes. In conclusion, I invite you to pray with me the great prayer of the Annunciation, the Angelus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. For forth we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you all for your attention.
Well, thank you, Father David. Perhaps it's the Lenten season, but your words truly spoke to my heart, and I'm sure it made a similar impression on all gathered on the call. And I would encourage all of us on the call, if we have friends who are unable to make this particular call, that they listen to the recording of the call on the website. Certainly great value to be obtained by listening to Father David's words once again. I'd like to remind you, too, that our next spiritual outreach call will be the Wednesday after Easter, April 4th, with a talk on the risen Christ by Father Mark Hessian. Again, thank you, Father David, for leading us this morning. Thanks to all who attended, and please have a most blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. God bless.